found and found in thee alone, the peace, the joy I sought so long, the blessing, till now unknown. 301 will stand in second. Down here upon earth, he taught men and women to pray. Thank thee and praise thee, we have learned that without the prayers of the saints, our meeting would be in vain. We pray, our Father, that thou wilt bless this season together in quietness, that thou wilt take away any distraction, anything, Lord, of the past or the future, that may come into our hearts and minds, may it be dismissed and left. It's bringing glory to thy great and holy name. We pray, our Father, that thou give us hearts to rejoice and be thankful that we are found in a place such as this with peace and quietness and all around, while in other countries, Lord, there's no gathering such as this. Many another place, Lord, where it costs very great expense physically as well as financially to have a meeting like this. We pray, Lord, that thou give us to understand our privileges as we are gathered together like this. We ask our God that thou help us as we read thy word, as it is explained in some little measure, that thou give us heart to receive. Give us minds that can grasp. Give us wills that will accept the Lord Jesus Christ as our personal Saviour. So remember those that have gone from us tonight to preach elsewhere. Thou knowest, Lord, the company that will be gathered with, and thou knowest those that will meet the Saviour. We ask, Lord, that thou bless them as they preach thy word. Remember too, our Father, those who are laid aside at this time and can't be with us, how glad they would be if they could be, and they would be. So we pray that thou bless them where they are and as they are. Remember through this troubled world of ours that we are in. While around here it seems to be so quiet and calm, yet in other places it's very fierce. So we pray, Lord, that thou calm the hearts and minds of men, that people may live in peace with each other, that they may enjoy the freedom of the gospel, the grace of God. Do help us in our singing and our speaking and our hearing, that it may all redound to thy praise and honour and glory for Jesus Christ's sake. Amen. Now you're singing quite well tonight, so I think we should have another go at this 427. I'd like to get a better grasp of it before I leave. Before you go to other places and you'll start and ask for a hymn there, and they'll say, oh, that's David Moss, and that's what he taught us. So perhaps you'll say that about this one. So let's hear you sing this one. Trusting in Jesus, my Saviour divine. Don't be afraid to sing.
My Savior, divine,
there in Genesis chapter 6, please. Genesis, that's the 6th chapter. Genesis chapter 6 and verse 1. And it came to pass, when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair, and he took them wives of all which they chose. And the Lord said, My spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. There were giants in the earth in those days, and also after that, when the sons of God came in unto the daughters of men, and they bare children to them, the same became mighty men, which were of old, men of renown. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thought of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, and the creeping thing, and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man, and perfect in his generations. And Noah walked with God. And Noah begat three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. The earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. And God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt. For all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. And God said unto Noah, The end of all flesh is come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them. And behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Make thee an ark of gopher wood. Rooms shalt thou make in the ark, and shalt pitch it within, and without with pitch. And this is the fashion which thou shalt make it of. The length of the ark shall be 300 cubits, and the breadth of it 50 cubits, and the height of it 30 cubits. A window shalt thou make to the ark, and in a cubit shalt thou finish it above, and the door of the ark shalt thou set in the side thereof, with lower second, and thus story shalt thou make it. And behold, I do bring a flood of waters upon the earth, to destroy all flesh, wherein is the breath of life, from under heaven, and everything that is in the earth shall die. But with thee will I establish my covenant, and thou shalt come into the ark, thou, and thy sons, and thy wife, and thy sons' wives with thee. The Lord will bless to us the reading of his precious word. Now this is my closing meeting, but you and I want to say how glad I am to have been here. I want to say thank you to the saints because you've encouraged my heart much these days. And there's a lot of you hadn't said a word to me, scarce. And how could we encourage you when we didn't? You know, you don't need to say words to show appreciation. And I'm quite sure that many of you, when you shook my hand, transferred to me the fact that you had enjoyed these meetings. And the handshake that I've received from quite a few have conveyed to me that you've really enjoyed these meetings. And that's the greatest reward that I can have this side of eternity. That's what I've come for, and that's why I'm here. And I do trust that this meeting will be nonetheless blessed of God than any of the others. Perhaps if we could pray and have our prayers answered, it would be that it would be more blessed than any other. Now tonight we go to Hardwick, and you know it's a small company there, and if you're not going with us, do try and find time for a minute or two to pray for us. We don't know who will be there, we don't know who will be many of the few, but still we can pray that the Lord will give us a blessing and make us a blessing while we're there. And you'll not forget, of course, on Wednesday, the all-important night. The all-important, oh yes, the all-important, first of all, you've got the children's meeting. And that's most important to this assembly. Not because I do a lot with children, but I believe within my heart that it's very important work. Then you've got the prayer meeting after. And we trust you'll have a good time at prayer and a good number there to pray. Then on Friday again, you'll have your ministry meeting. This time we'll have Dr. Short with you from Weston-super-Mare, and he'll be with you over the weekend to the next Thursday. You've got the notice, and you'll get further notice of it. And he's a nice fellow and a fine fellow and a good preacher too. I like him anyway. So I'm giving you that to encourage you to come and hear him, and you'll be very much uplifted by some of his ministry at least. I think that's about all. I'd like to just recite two verses of one of 316 of one, and the last verse of 316. It was down at the feet of Jesus on the happy, happy day that my soul found peace and relieving and my sins were washed away. 316, we'll keep our seats, the first and the last verse, please, Maria. Until the day that Noah entered into the ark. and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. The Lord will bless these verses to us as well as the previous. I suppose the one outstanding thing about the ark and Noah and the flood, that is that it gets a very prominent place in the minds of men and women. It seems to be a story that has travelled very, very far. But the incidents of the Old Testament are very fine incidents to bring before us conditions that then prevail. There are some things in the Old Testament that sparkle out and seem to be very, very important things. And yet they never find place in the New Testament. Well, that's not the case about Noah and his ark. For Noah and his ark, we find in the Old Testament, as we have read part of it, we find the Lord Jesus Christ himself bringing it before us. And we find again the Apostle Peter bringing it home to our hearts, the truth of the ark. And so I want to turn your attention tonight to a few things about this. And you'll understand that when Noah went into the ark, he was pointing forward to a day when men and women would hear the gospel for the last time. And it may be quite simply this, that tonight may be your last time of hearing the gospel. Now notice what I said. On the authority of Genesis chapter 6, I can safely say that you can come to 1,000 gospel meetings after this one and never hear the gospel. How do you make that out? Because God says, my spirit shall not always strive with man. And if this is the night when God is going to present the gospel to you in a special way, and you reject it, it may be for the last time of the Spirit's moving. And as a preacher of the gospel, I am always afraid of sending anyone home without a full knowledge of the gospel of the grace of God and the result of rejecting. So tonight we're going to look at three simple things about the days of Noah. As in the days of Noah. The first thing I noticed about the days of Noah were the days of sin. Sin. I'm not talking about white lies. I'm not talking about boys and girls cheating at school. I'm talking about the ones that we read together in Genesis chapter 6. The thought, the imagination of the heart of man was always evil continually. There are men today that are very wicked. But there are times when they are very kind. There are times when they are prepared to even show mercy or show even love. But in this day, it says evil continually. The thought, the imagination of the heart of man was always evil continually. But you'll notice what God said about it. God said, it repented me that I had made man on the earth. What a tragic statement. That man had got to such a condition that God himself looked down and said he repented him, he'd made him. Because God was made for man. And God could find pleasure in man. But whenever sin entered into the world, then that pleasure disappeared. That contentment on the part of Adam and Eve ceased to be. Man has been in opposition to God ever since. And so as I look round the world today, not only in back streets of Glasgow, but in very high places, I get sin abounding. I was working with Dumbartonshire not too long ago. I drew into the side to have a drink of tea in the afternoon. As I drew in, there was another car coming up behind me. I went along and spoke to the fellow that was in it. Oh, he says, I come from Peterhead. Oh, I said, well, I've been in Peterhead in two places. I've been in the assembly and I've been in the prison. Oh, he says. He says, that's where I'm from. I says, what brings you down here? He says, well, he says, I'm the assistant governor in Berlin. I says, well, I've been in there preaching too. How do you find things, sir? Well, he says, sir, being the man you are, I think I should tell you. He says, we're manufacturing criminals in Berlin prison. And we've got first offenders coming in for some paltry thing and going out as double dyed as the worst that are in there. Ooh, that's a tragic state of affairs. How is that? Why, we've got three and four in every cell that was built for one. You've only got to read your paper. What have you got? Sin abounding in advertising. Sin abounding in things for sale. Sin abounding in invitations. You find that sin has got a grip on the hearts of people today. So I want to say three things about this sin question before we go any further. What's the first? As I read this 6th, 17th chapter of Genesis, I see most clearly that men sneered at the word of God. Sneered at the word of God. Oh, it used to be a day when I went out into a back court in Glasgow that people would put their windows up and quite often many of them would lie out to listen. Their children? Oh, who wants to hear that? When a back court worker presents to start to sing or preach, down goes the window, up goes the radio. When you speak to them straightforward, they just sneer at it. Why do they do that? Because of the life that they're living. I'm not a statistician by any manner of means. But immorality is well on the increase. Police can't cope with robbery. Come to Glasgow any time and you'll see the drunks at 14 years of age. See the dope addicts. Many other things. Take the gospel to them, fool. One of my friends that was in the Japanese camp, when he was taken prisoner to the Japanese camps, he was on that terrible railway that took the toll of so many men. Come home and told me quite a bit about it. Horror! Horror! We went out into an open air. Began to preach, and Dan started to speak to one or two around about and give them a tract. Ah, the young fellow there. I haven't any time for that stuff. Dan just stood back, looked at him and said,
Your first leave son from the army, eh? Yeah, he says, we don't have no time for that. My young man, listen. I saw the cream of Britain's manhood hiding behind a blade of grass while I spoke to them about this saviour out yonder in that railway that was built for the Japanese. Hey! He says, my son, listen. I've met thousands of men like you. When we come to face the horrors, when we come to face the troubles, he says, they began to think different. The sooner you get some of their troubles, the better. Just sneer at the word of God. Of course, Matthew. It's not all double-dyed sinners. Not all double-dyed sinners. And I'm quite sure that I'm speaking tonight to a company of people that know those that perhaps have sat in these very seats throughout the Sunday school and Bible class and still sneer at the word of God, but have never come to the Saviour. Noah's day, they sneered at the word of God. Of course, they did something else too. They scoffed at the salvation of God. They scoffed at it. You know, I haven't got great imagination, but sometimes I think on Noah in this ark. I can see Noah as I was myself as a young man. When I started to preach and I couldn't put two words together scarce. And poor Noah would be trying with all his heart to get this home to them. And he would have a hearing. You see, time wore on until he became quite an old man. Even in those days, the children would be saying, come and let us hear old Noah. He's still there shouting at the corner. He's preaching his heart out and telling them, there's only one way that's in this ark. Poor old Noah. There's not as much water here as would float a match, never mind a great big ship like that. Poor old Noah, it's a pretty formula. Oh, he's interested in the work that he's doing. And he's earnest when he preaches, but who could believe that? Oh, the salvation that he preaches. Imagine, we're not living out that day yet. Not out of that day yet. But as sure as you're sitting in your sins unforgiven, you're just as big a sinner against God's salvation as it's fit to be. Let me say this and say it emphatically. There was a partly an excuse for the people in Noah's day. That's not for yours. For in Noah's day, men could believe Noah there wasn't a particle of difference in the light. Can't believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and no change. You come across a man, a woman, that has trusted the Saviour and their life has been changed. And you've got a full evidence of what the salvation that is in Christ Jesus can do for a person. You're still going on in your sins and you're rejecting that testimony as well as the salvation that's in Christ. But Noah's people didn't have the chance that you have. They had no Bible. They had no conviction of the Spirit of God that's here. They had only one preacher in all that great territory. But even in the remote parts of Shetland, where there's only a house or two, it's had the gospel preached, if nothing else, over radio and TV and gospel tracts and booklets have been handed in. You're scoffing at this salvation. You know, it's a tragic business about it. This solemn business about it. What are they doing? Just sneering. Sneering at the judgment of God. Not going to tell me that this thing happened. No, I'm not going to tell you anything. But I've read it in the Word of God to you. And it's God's Word that says that Noah went into his ark and there was a flood came and swept them all away. And you can scoff and you can sneer at it as much as you like. One person that did no sin, in him was no sin, and he never told a lie. And Jesus Christ is the person that says Noah went into the ark, and the flood came and swept them all away that were outside. So you can scoff, you can sneer, you can laugh, you can be what you like, but the sin in your heart is causing you to do either of these three things, if not all of them. I'll tell you the second thing about the days of Noah. While the first thing was sin, the second thing was sorrow. Sorrow. Well, don't think you'll get off scot-free, for you won't. Don't think for one single moment that this world is going to get off scot-free. Oh, that's just what they would like to think. There are three outstanding things just here that you can't get away from. Who was the first person that was sorrow of heart? God Himself. God Himself. And it says that God repented Himself. And further down the chapter, it grieved God in His heart. Sorrow was first in the heart of God. The Lord Jesus was here upon earth. There was a prodigal son who went into the far country. And his father watched for him day after day, indicating there was sorrow in the heart of the father. When he came back, he threw his arms round him and bid him welcome. The Lord Jesus went into Jerusalem and he preached in Jerusalem and he preached in Jerusalem and he preached in Jerusalem. One day he preached in Jerusalem and then he left it. As he walked up the hillside there, the disciples following on, he came and he sat down, and when the disciples gathered round him, they saw he was in tears. Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stonest them that have sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together under my wing, but ye would not. Breaking, sobbing heart of the Lord Jesus was revealed in the tears that he shed as he wept bitterly. For every sinner that's here tonight, God has a broken heart, a grieved heart, and the Saviour wept for you. As we come to the Garden of Gethsemane and we go to the Hebrew epistle, it says, strong crying and tears. Sorrow commenced in the heart of God to begin with. You know, you've caused much sorrow to the saints in this place. I'm quite sure that there are parents here that have wept over their children. I'm quite sure that they've watched them doing things when they couldn't withhold them from doing it. Their hearts have gone out in deep sorrow because of it?
Yes, of course.
It's because you're dead in trespasses and sins. Because Satan has a grip of your body, soul, and spirit that you can't understand when sympathy's coming out. The sorrow that you're causing is being effective in others. God makes it clear that he was the first to know the sorrow of heart because of that point in the sin question. But Noah was sorry too. Noah was a preacher of righteousness. I tell you, there's many a poor preacher that's gone home very sorrowful. He invited me to preach in Motherwell some years ago. We went to the Orange Hall and had meetings in the Orange Hall for 2 weeks. The place was almost full the second week, night after night. I went to the door on the last night and was shaking hands and the people come out, going out. One of the other brethren come and said a few things to me in sympathy with me, and I just burst into tears there and then. I'm no milksop and never was. But to weep o'er the erring is an experience that you never forget. As he stood and looked at me, his heart went out too. I preached in a gospel tent in a place in Ayrshire. The leading brother of one of the meetings further down the coast come up night after night when his own meeting wasn't on. And I went home one day and spoke to the lady that I was staying with. She says, "Mr. Hogg, Mr. Brown, you're away home again tonight." I says, "What's wrong?" She said, "He went out of that tent weeping." How can they do it? How can they do it? Preaching like that and still go out without Christ. I tell you, this sin business has got you so blinded and so dead that you can't even respond to common love and affection from those that love you. Don't think for a minute that that's the only persons that are going to have sorrow. Well, there was a day when Noah preached his last sermon. There was a day when Noah wept his last tear before he went into the ark. There was a day when Noah looked round about and saw all the mark of people before him, and he put the last ounce of energy and passion in his preaching. Verse 16 of chapter 7, Noah steps into the ark, and the Lord shut the door. For 7 days they had a time of laughter. For 7 days they had to go without the preacher annoying them. They got up in the morning, and the sky was dark, and the clouds began to fall, and the rain came down, and the floods rose, and there was screeching, there was yelling, and there was crying for mercy. Too late. Too late. My spirit shall not always cry with man. And if this is your hour, that Jesus Christ is being presented, that salvation is being offered, and the door closing tonight, you can weep your tears for 1,000 years, and you'll never be in heaven. God had sorrow of heart. Christ wept tears. Noah preached his heart out. That's happened in out of this meeting tonight without Christ, and hell will be far hotter than ever you anticipated. Our days of sin, all right. Our days of sorrow, all right. Oh, but I must come to this one. Our days of salvation. Days of salvation! Why, if you'd only listen. Who told Noah to build an ark? Why, it was God that told him. Who gave him the plan? Why, it was God that gave him. That's just it. The God of heaven has planned your salvation. Planned it. And away back in that past eternity, the Almighty God of the universe put his mind into action to devise a plan of salvation for you. And it revealed in these last times to you what was the plan. That his Son would be born in a table, that he might come as lowest, touch the lowest. That he might be in a manger, where shepherds and animals could look one on one side and one the other. That he might go to a condition of things that no one could despise and reject him, because he had come to the very lowest. Lived a life down here of absolute perfect purity in the midst of sin. He went to a cross. For God had said in Galatians chapter 4, in the fullness of time, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, that he might redeem. According to the reading of the Old Testament scripture, and any brother or sister here that knows anything about it will tell you, there's only one way of having remission, and that was by blood. Jesus Christ went to a cross and was hanged between two thieves that he might shed his blood for you. Because of his death at a place called Calvary, God can open a door of salvation to you. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest fame, but wholly lean on his dear name, on Christ, the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. The door of salvation to know, there it is. One door, only one, yet it sides of two, inside and outside. On which side are you? I tell you, it's a sea of salvation, accepted and rejected. Noah preached as he'd ever preached before that last day when God told him to come in. Salvation was proved by going through a door. Salvation was proved rejected by keeping out. You can join the church in Lerwick and the whole of Scotland. You can read the Bible a million times over if God would give you ears to read it. You can pray from now to doomsday, and you'll never be in heaven, because there's only one way of salvation. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. I tell you, God planned it. But Noah proclaimed it. Noah proclaimed it. What did he do? Well, he preached righteousness. He preached that God was righteous, and because you're a sinner, He must punish sin.
Oh, you don't need to tell me I'm a sin preacher. Don't need to tell me I know that, because I know what I'm doing.
And if you're not going to face up to the fact that you're a sinner and you need a Saviour, then the righteousness of God must punish the sin on you.
As sure as I stand in the dock in the city of Glasgow, and I'm found guilty, and I'm found fined 10 pounds, and I can't pay the 10 pounds, I've got the alternative of prison.
If someone comes and pays the 10 pounds, then the law is satisfied, and I can go free, but I'm still guilty.
If you come to Jesus Christ and lay hold upon Him as your salvation, because He bare our sins in His own body on the tree, and claim Him as your salvation, then you'll find that you're not only saved, but you're cleansed from sin. Every single sin that you've committed is cleansed from the sight of God because of the blood of Jesus Christ that was shed and you're depending on.
Noah proclaimed the righteousness of God, a preacher of righteousness. I tell you, you'll face up to your sins someday.
Oh, you can laugh at the preacher the same as they did at Noah.
I never want to go and face Jesus Christ with a milk and water gospel to suit you. Because I've got every soul in my heart and mind that's here tonight. God planned it. Noah proclaimed it. Gospel is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. The ark is the only place of refuge.
Oh, you can build whatever you like. You can go wherever you like. You can pay whatever you like.
When the flood came, nothing was saved. Save those that were inside.
There was neither class distinction, nor colour distinction, nor political distinction, nor religious distinction.
But God is righteous. And He does not take any account of in any of these things. All He knows is this, that you are a sinner and you need us. You need to be saved and cleansed in that blood of Jesus Christ. One moment, the opportunity of the door wide open was proclaimed. The next moment, dragging his feet behind him with his head down and his heart like a ton of coal for weight, he stepped into the ark. The door was shut. Everything outside, bird, beast, man, and everything else perished. There was no scoffing then. There was no sneering then. There was no sneers in their face when the door was shut and the flood came. I tell you, it's fine to be a big man when the preacher's preaching. When you're facing death and an eternal hell before you, you will not be just so big. I tell you, this gospel is the power of God unto salvation. So tonight, you've got all I can give you. Days of sin. Days of sorrow. Days of salvation. I turn for the last minute or two that I've got with you. I want to emphasize this fact that Noah separated these two people. How did they do it? They built an ark. And he put in the door. But he couldn't get them in, force them in. Brethren, years ago, built this hall. And as sure as they built this hall, they separated the people in Lerwick. They opened the door for the gospel that you could come into, though the joy of sin forgiveness pass in to the joy of salvation, to the power of God operative in your heart and life to start your way to heaven. There's been many statistics. I've heard better preaching, but never a better gospel. Passed out and in hell tonight, they're lifting up their eyes, wishing they could get that seat that you're sitting on, to have the last opportunity that they might trust the Saviour. What are you going to do about it? What are you going to do about it? Nothing. Oh yes, you're doing something. You will not leave this building as you come in. We've prayed in that prayer meeting for you. We've prayed a long while before that prayer meeting for you. If you go out unsafe tonight, and the door may close, tomorrow's sun may never rise to bless thy long deluded sight. Thou wouldst be saved? Oh, then be wise. Thou wouldst be saved? Why not tonight? Let's pray. While Jesus whispers to you, come, sinner, come. While we are praying for you, come, sinner, come. It's not the case of coming to the preacher or coming to the assembly, it's coming to the Saviour. Just now, think on your position. Just now, think on your opportunity. Just now, think on 100 years hence. Rejoicing in heaven or wailing in hell? Why? Only a step to Jesus. Then why not take it now? Come with thy sins, confessing to him thy Saviour son. He'll save you. He'll cleanse you. He'll give you power to live for him. You've got to come. Blessed God, our Father, while we're loath to close this gathering without knowing thy mind and will, without seeing some visible token of thy working in this in the midst by the Spirit, the hour demands it. We pray for those who are having the battle now. And perhaps it's at its fiercest, because Satan knows that once the step is taken, then his power is broken in them. The cry for the Spirit to move tonight as never before. Someone might come and come to the Saviour now. The pastors with our riches accept our thanks again for Jesus Christ and his salvation.
for his name's sake. Amen. I'm not in any hurry to leave this building. I'm not here just to run off to Hoswick just because the meeting's over. Hoswick can go on well enough without me, for it's gone on all these years without me. But your salvation may not. And if you're wise, you'll wait tonight. You'll come to the Saviour tonight. And all the joy of Stinsford here. The door is wide. The Saviour is willing. And you. I'll just be at the back as usual to shake hands, and I'll not say a single word to you. But if you're anxious, then you'll do the asking. We'll have the joy of rejoicing with you.